Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd's Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
No offense, offense, but I look forward to watching this defense in 2022. A lot of your opponents aren't going to look forward to it, but thanks for coming down. Man, you got to be pretty, I mean, you got a young squad. But you got a lot of raw talent.
Yeah, we do. You know, like you can
tell.
That
puts pressure on you guys.
That's all right. We like that kind of pressure. No, you can tell we got some size at receiver and at DB. We got some playmakers, got some hitters. So we got a good mix. We just have to, you know, just clean up a couple mistakes. Just clean up a couple mistakes from last night.
Well, like you said, it is spring. You got plenty of time to, to plan that. When do you start again in the summer?
For summer.
Oh, you guys do 7-on-7, don't you?
Oh yeah, we
do. Defense doesn't get involved in that, do they?
Yeah, they do.
I know very little about 7-on-7 because obviously in my era, it didn't exist.
So our 7-on-7 is really in the winter. So after after fall football, they get a couple weeks off, and we usually start in February with 7-on-7, and that goes. That we usually go up to right about the time spring ball starts.
All right. Well. I guess it never stops for you.
It's year round. That's why I came down here. I love football. It's the place to be.
Exactly. Yeah. A little different than up north. Texas, it runs year round too, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it's big down here, but have you ever been to a game in Texas?
No.
I've been to two games. They got stadiums that hold like 20,000.
I've seen them.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And they really pay their coaches, too.
Yeah, like they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like Friday Night Lights. All right, my man. Well, thanks for bringing the guys down, and I look forward to...
Anytime. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Really appreciate it.
Always. I'll talk more off the air.
You got it. All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Hey, Mike, can I ask him a question real quick?
You sure can. You're taking over the show.
Hey,
you
guys,
you
football and, players, first of all, you guys are...
Mr. Ray Kennedy.
Back in my... Well, I guess football players are big back in the 80s, but anyway... Tom Brady retires, coming back. How many Bucks fans do we have? And who's excited for Tom Brady's 23rd season in the National Football League? Anybody? Serious?
You guys Bucks fans?
No. How about Tampa Bay Bandits, the USFL? No crowds. They're playing in Birmingham. Have you even watched the game, though, Coach? Have you even watched the game?
I have watched about 10 minutes of the USFL.
Yeah, about the same here. Yeah. 10 minutes, but yes, sir.
But I remember watching it when I was young. You know, I remember
watching back in the day.
I remember watching them back in the day. Yeah,
yeah. John Barrett and Owen and what Burt Reynolds and all that.
That's right.
Anderson and Jerry
Reed.
So yeah, some of that mystique carries forward. But I had to ask because I'm with Bucks Report, so I wanted to. So overall, who's our biggest team we're fans of? Don't anyone say Dallas Cowboys.
Well, he's from Texas. You know he's a Dallas
Bucks
guy.
Bucks played in Week One.
Yeah.
Dallas going to get revenge in Week One this season now that Bucks beat them last weekend on a Thursday home opener.
I mean, we'll see. It'll be a tough game, probably like it was this past year. We'll see.
All right, I'll take that, Coach. I'll take that. All right.
Point toss.
Guys, thanks again for coming out today so much. Great.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Siega Pirates, man.
Yeah.
Again,
appreciate
it. Heck, what happened with these football players, Oscar? Man, these guys are huge.
I don't know. These guys weren't this size when I was in high school, and that wasn't too long ago, honestly. And if you guys got a second, Mike stepped out, but I actually like to talk to QB real quick. You mentioned something. We like to get the conversations with the coaches, and it's nice to get insight from them. But from the players, what our listeners probably don't know a lot about is about what's going on with recruiting right now. You talked about you want to be a three-star. We talk about rivals. We talk about preps. A lot of listeners have no clue what that world like looks like right now. So give us some insight onto what that looks like for you. Like, you know, do you have to go to camps? What happens with that?
I'm kind of starting out my recruiting process, I guess. But, five stars, that's like, those guys are like Alabama guys. Those are the best of the best. I'm obviously not 6'5".
Right.
I'm trying to go to like smaller school, like Ivy League is what I'm shooting for.
Right.
What I'm aiming for. So, yeah.
Call out your target right now. Don't be coy. Who knows who's listening?
Yale is probably like my number one.
All right. I've heard of them.
I'm a legacy at Brown, so I'm talking with them too.
Just drop that in there.
Yeah.
All right.
It's for rivals and stuff like that. It's just you go to the combines and that kind of stuff, and you let them see you, send them your film. And yeah, they kind of just evaluate you from there.
So I heard, I think one of the coaches said something about a pro style. What is that?
So that's like a guy who doesn't run. That's like the Tom
Brady. Okay.
Roethlisberger.
So you took that one. You were like, I don't like
that.
No.
Yeah, that's not. That's definitely not me.
Okay, for sure, for sure. So you want to end up as a three-star by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Most likely. I mean, anything more would be great, but that's the goal for. And you're a sophomore, right? So you got a big year coming up. This is going to be transformative for you. Got a great team behind you. A lot of, I can tell, there's got some chemistry in the building. Coach is doing his job. We got, I'm from Detroit, so I don't have any beef with your division, with Pittsburgh. I don't have any beef with Dallas. So I wish you guys all the best. He's a Packers fan, though, so.
Nobody's
crying any tears.
It's later now. We're going to get it. I'll get
right. Now I can really talk.
$37.5 million contract I just signed with Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Right, exactly.
Guys, let me just work it back to the Bucs house real quick. Gronkowski coming back at this point. Are we still on the fence with this? The Bucs draft a Yale tight end to go along with their Harvard tight end and Cam Brate.
Did you just Harvard?
Harvard. Right out of the Eastern. Is Gronkowski playing in 2022? The Bucs fans want to know. I'll share this one. Yes, that's what I'm thinking. I think he's starting to enjoy that afterlife. Go ahead, Oscar. I'm sorry. I just thought I'd ask. But there's just no Bucs fans there whatsoever.
Hey, I appreciate you throwing that in there, Ray. I think probably waiting a little bit to see that. We got to handle what's going on with Boca Ciega first. But I'm wishing you guys the best. Appreciate you guys coming down here. And hopefully we'll have you. Is spring ball over now? Or?
Yeah, it's over now.
So you only had one game?
One game. 19 practices, get one game.
You had Gibbs up, right? Okay.
Gibbs,
That was a good matchup for you guys.
That was a really good matchup for us.
So what's coming down? What is the next... I mean, what, 4 or 5 months looking like for you guys? Because it's June now. Yeah, I mean, so May now.
They get about 2 weeks off. We start up June 6th with our summer conditioning. So we go 3 days a week in the summer. And then August 1st, that's when practice starts.
August 1st is when practice starts. All right, well, I mean, you guys start having practices. And then when's first kickoff?
It'd be 2 weeks after that.
Okay, 2 weeks after that. All right, so as your season starts to develop, we're going to be picking up here, and we're going to have you guys down more. I'm actually going to hand this back off to Mike, but like I said, appreciate you guys coming down.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Talk to Ray Kennedy.
Got a Buccaneer fan in the house. I get it. So maybe my next question was about the overexposure this week and Tom and that brand. And I guess there is a bit overexposed, but what else can I ask? Oh, I just can't believe it. Guys, again, I can't. We'd love to come back down to the stadium again. I love coming out to Bogey. It's been so long, but... Good to hear. Spring ball, coach. If you play spring ball as a freshman, but you don't play varsity your just sophomore year for some reason, that still counts as 1 year of eligibility, though, doesn't it? It's a tough question. I know I'm throwing it at you, but I mean, some kids don't know that, even though it's a rare. I see these kids are going to be playing in 2022.
Well, yeah, no. No, so if they play in the spring, it's, it counts as their year.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yep.
So you need to take a year off, or, you know, but unless you get an injury, can you still register for an injury?
No, it doesn't happen. Not in high school. Okay. I wish, no.
But it starts at redshirt for Kyle Trask for the Bucs, right?
Yeah.
We're
going
to back to the Bucs. I have to do it. Coach, again, thanks for coming on here today.
Yep. All
great
right.
To see you guys. Hope to see you real soon, too.
Thank you. Right.
Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. And thanks, guys, coming down. Go Pirates. Looking forward to coming down that field 2022. I got to get one of those pirate hats. I'm putting an order in for a pirate hat, Coach. Ray Kennedy, let's have a little banter back and forth.
That's one of the best things. And you see the fire in those guys, those kids' eyes. You see it there. The spring, of course, the fire's still going. They just played their spring football game last night. But I see this Pirate football team just ready with the look in their eyes for the next upcoming season after this summer. Take a summer and have a good time, boys.
Well, you know what? I think we're gonna be doing some games. Why don't you get a hold of Alex and we'll get you guys on for your little roundtable conversation.
Yes,
we're gonna,
sir.
You can stay on because we're going to call Ralph Rogers.
Right.
And talk about the, not Dixie Hollins, the Hollins here that
Royals.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Ralph Rogers.
I mentioned them in my little cup of Ray I did over here talking about tomorrow's watch party down here at Ferg's. Have you been to a watch party at Ferg's here for the Lightning, Oscar? Have you been? I mean, you've heard it because you live around right here.
Have I been to what exactly?
Party for the Lightning, the watch parties with Alan McTavish, DJ Alan, Mad Mac down here in the.
Where
Lightning.
Have they been here?
They're here.
Forget about it.
I can't believe you live next door.
I've been pulling up to watch the games here. I didn't realize I was coming to a watch party. I thought I was just going to Ferg's.
The Red Wings aren't even in the playoffs anymore, Oscar. Are they?
Yeah, let's not.
I had to go. There.
No, but Miami versus Tampa. And then having Miami and Boston play at the same time, having that little showdown, the little Florida showdown, has been a lot of fun at Ferg's. Been going to a couple Rays games too, coming right out of the Rays games. popping under the tunnel, coming to Ferg's, and then Ferg's has been absolutely live. It's been crazy.
Well, we're going to talk to Coach Ralph Rogers. I'm going to keep you on with me. And you're going to get everything. I'm calling it BS from the Bar, the roundtable conversation with Ray Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
And the Big O, and of course, Alex. And I'm the old man's going to step out. I could have been the moderator, but I'm going to let the talent talk about the NFL, NHL, MLB. We'll do that after we talk to our good friend, Coach Ralph Rogers. Successful season this year with the Hollins Royals. How are you, Coach?
Good. Glad to be with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. And, you know, the season didn't wind down as you thought, but it probably didn't progress as you felt it would either with this 2022 group of kids. And it's memories for a lifetime for these youngsters.
Yes, most definitely it is. We knew coming into the season that we should be much better than what we were last year. But the way the season went, and just the accomplishment and how the kids just continue to get better and better. And we were able to, turn what we thought would be a good season into a really great season here at Hollins High School.
Hey, Coach, talk about the flight. We had you out here a couple weeks ago there on a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we saw the turnout. And something tells me that every kid that follows a team, probably team trainers and managers and probably a couple were down here. But that's the kind of unity we see in your team, and that's obviously a reflection of the 2022 and the success you guys are having, is the unity for an entire team to show up down here for a radio show on a Saturday, just having fun being together, and that transitions to the field of play.
Mike, for some reason, I'm not hearing you clearly. I don't know if you can hear me on the other side.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you clearly. I couldn't catch anything you were saying.
Well, he was just asking, and we discussed it last week, the camaraderie that you have with the families, the administration behind the Hollins success, and how that... It grew as the season continued, and you certainly proved that. Anytime we had you down here at Ferg's, as Ray was alluding to, the families came down, the players came down. They looked forward to coming down and sharing their success with us.
Yes, this was very, very awesome. When I was fortunate when I did get the job at Hollins High School. The principal just so happened to have been my AD director, athletic director at Bogasiega while I was there for my second and third year, and then he left and got into administration, and then 3 years ago he called me, the job was open, and he offered me the job, and just from the time that I accepted the job, the administration, from him to my AD to my athletic coordinator, have just been so supportive. And then that first group of ninth graders that I got in, along with what was remaining from the squad the year before, you know, you could just start seeing the bond. And then the following year, it just became closer and closer. And then by this year, it's just a tight-knit family. And, you know, new players that come into the program, the returning players, accept them with arms open. They're treated just like anybody else on this ball club. And, they're not left out, that they don't belong here. It's just the 17 kids that I have is, and all my 35 years of coaching, this is probably the closest net team that I've had with just the way that you know they do things outside of the baseball field, and just they enjoy being with each other.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I've got Ray Kennedy and the Big O, Oscar Garner III, with me. And we're talking to Ralph Rogers, the Hollins Royals baseball coach, district coach of the year. They went 21-7. ranked number 7 in 5A, number 64 in the state of Florida, which doesn't seem high. In this state, that's amazing. And number 14 in the Tampa region. And I bet you didn't think that there would be that many tributes and, of course, success that these kids are going to revel in the rest of their lives when the season started.
We were really thinking that, you know, next year would be, you know, the year that they really blossomed. But, you know, just their work ethics and, you know, how they love the game and how they come out and get themselves prepared as best as they can, you know, just kept, you know, getting better and better. And they got to the point where, you know, this year, the close games that we won were the same games last year that, you know, we didn't fare well at the end. And, you know, it was just a growing process that all transformed this year into the great season that they had.
Hey, let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind. You know, and it's not a great memory, but to play in the powerhouse that Jesuit is last week, and they advanced down to Fort Myers. Do you see them winning the state championship?
It'd be tough for them to lose. They're just a complete baseball team. They've got great pitching. You know, I was talking with Miguel before the, you know, our game the other night, and you know, early in the season and midway through the season, I mean, they had a great year, but they weren't swinging the bats as well as. Now, you know, he was telling me the last 7 or 8 ball games, they just started, you know, just really mashing the baseball. And, you know, it's carried on. I mean, you know, how can you not say that this club is not a good ball club and well-deserving when probably their last 6 to 7 opponents, you know, they 10-run ruled, you know, just about everybody. I was telling some of my coaches on the way back home on the bus, it was like, you know, we threw everything at them. I mean, we probably could have thrown marbles up there for them to hit, and, you know, they would have mashed those also. I mean, they're just, you know, they're big and strong, and they just have an excellent all-around ball club. And, you know, I mean, it would take, you know, another great team to be able to, you know, to beat them today in the state finals.
I talked to Miguel Menendez. Of course, he's the head baseball coach for the Jesuit Tigers, and I talked to him on the air about mid-season. At that time, you alluded to the fact that he said, "Hey, we just weren't hitting the ball," and I know how fortunate for any team, any sport, to be gelling at the right time towards the end of the season, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, they turned it on, you know, at the best time, you know, getting prepared for, you know, their district run and then their regional run. And now, you know, the grand finale, you know, where everybody, you know, would love to be at the state tournament.
We were just talking with the Bogey Pirate football team, and how do the Hollins Royals, now the season's done, it's really true, even in our high school athletics, which is one of the reasons why you guys are locking it down with such fantastic action and play, but about there being no more off-season, what are the kids looking now to do as they transition to the off-season to stay in shape? Obviously, playing in other leagues is a thing, but they've got to work on things. What do you tell them to work on to prepare for their next season, to prepare for the 2022 school year? Coach, can you hear me? No. Hey, so let me go ahead and keep talking. Maybe we lost Coach. How about your phone? Did we lose him on the phone there? Oscar, what do you think baseball players are doing as they transition to the offseason?
Well, staying in shape being the one thing. Right. And keeping the head down. A lot of times at least when I was playing, any sport, when you're coming out of the season, whether you came out high or low, and usually, you know, odds are you lose your last game of the season. That means you didn't make it to the finals. You didn't, you know, win the championship.
Right.
So collecting it, whether it be a win or a loss, and refocusing for the next season.
And so coach is looking to put that in the boys. Hey, we did lose a game to end the season. There is room for improvement. Let's continue to strive for that 100%. Excellence. Guess what? I'm playing in a golf tournament on June 11th, Saturday golf tournament. It might be the funniest thing you'll ever see, and I'll have to share video with you guys for on the tee.
We'll need that for the Facebook.
Brother, 100%. I can't. Call back and swing as a pitching wedge. Coach, are you back?
Hey, I got you.
All right, Coach. Well, I was just talking to Oscar about the fact that now that the season just ended, what are some of the things our Royals baseball players do now to continue to stay focused and ready and train and be ready for the next season, even if it may not be so much at the high school level, they're playing in another level of baseball?
Yeah, this summer, I've got a bunch of kids, a bunch of the players will be playing travel ball. A lot of them play for top tier, which is a very good, sound travel ball team that they'll play. Some of my kids will. I do not force my kids to play in the summer. If they want to continue, they all know what they need to do to work on over the summer, whether it be playing with somebody else or just working out on their own. But I give them the option. I've never really been a big firm believer of, you know, being with my kids year round. You know, the kids need to go their way,
yes,
have an opportunity to be kids, to enjoy things that, you know, possibly during the season they camp. And then what we do is in the fall when school starts back up, we have our fall season of playing games and conditioning and weight training, me and the coaching staff are with them during that, and then we go into spring, and then summertime we part our ways, and they go their way, and right, I go my way.
Coach, oh, go ahead, Oscar, please.
Well, Coach, you know, when I was growing up, I had coaches who said, you know, optional summer workouts or optional off-season workouts, and optional didn't really mean optional. You know, they say optional,
exactly,
but they like to see, you know, if you're coming in, that means you want a little bit more out of whatever your experience is, you know, whatever,
right,
sports you're playing. What's your viewpoint on that? I know you emphasize you want the kids to be kids at the end of the day, and this is a time for growth, exploration. You understand what the youth are trying to get out of this, but when those players do come in for those optional summer workouts, or they want to be involved year round, what does that say to you?
Well, I like to hear that, and I feel, you know, I have so many that are, you know, very dedicated, you know, to this game, and you know, majority of them are looking to you know, continue, you know, the education and the baseball experience afterwards. And you know, it's not that I don't want them to play, but you know, I just feel, you know, like take for instance, you know, our pitchers that, you know, I mean, you know, throw, you know, we're very delicate with our pitchers, you know, on pitches and pitch counts and all that good stuff. And, you know, the arms need to heal. The kids that don't get as much playing time during the regular season, I let them know, I think it's very good that they need to get out there and, you know, continue improving on what we're looking for them to improve on and to get better and stronger. But I also feel, you know, back in my younger days when I started, it was like, you know, hardcore. I mean, you know, we were always at it. And just, you know, as the more years that I spent, you know, in the coaching field, it's, you know, there's such a grind during the fall and then during the spring season that, you know, I just now have felt that, you know, the players need an opportunity to be able to have time to be able to do what they need to do, knowing though that, you know, they still need to continue on their skills. And I think that, you know, they need to get away from me. I need to get away from them because we do spend so much time, you know, together. And I think, you know, I've never had a problem that when we come back in the fall, that they're ready to go. I mean, they may not be right at the perfect, you know, place that you want them to be, but, you know, you've got that fall season to continue their growth and their improvement. And then, you know, the new kids, you know, if I know of any new kids that are enrolling into Hollins, you know, I usually get a chance to speak with them and, you know, and explain, you know, what we do, you know, right. in the summer and what they're able to be able to do.
Right.
And then in the fall, then they will, you know, join us in our fall preparation for our spring season.
Coach, I like that because isn't that exactly one of the most, going back, you know, 140 years, isn't that one of the most romantic things about baseball is it was spring, of course, here in Tampa Bay in beautiful St. Petersburg, Florida, with the Cardinals and the Yankees and the training, but it's about the spring training because these kids these days, they are staying in shape, and Oscar, like yourself, they're pretty young and staying in shape anyway, but they're still training, getting better, club teams, playing stuff, but then, you know, you come in, you shake a little rust off, you probably don't have too much because you're staying, you know, at the elite athlete status that you are so you can compete and have that success again this next season. But that's one of the things we always liked about baseball is sometimes you come in, it takes a minute to work the rust off, and then you work in, and that's when you start doing your lineup and you start doing your rotation. Things change over the season. Got some guys work a little harder, some guys work a little less, right, Coach?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I, you know, the time off, you know, most of these kids, you know, are playing year round and they're keeping themselves, you know, in good shape and everything. So it's, you know, come fall, I mean, we've got plenty of time because, like, we'll start right after Labor Day, and we usually run all the way through maybe a week past Thanksgiving, and then they only get like about a month and a half off before we start that long grind for our spring season. So, yeah, firm believer that, you know, a little time off, you know, let the body recoup, and you know, them get away from me and me get away from them for a while just, you know, makes things good and fresh when we come back in the fall.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, Coach, but yeah, a little time away from Coach every now and then. Oscar, you play ball, you know what I'm seeing. You alluded to it. A little time away is a good thing, and it starts to build that responsibility as well, so self-trained and stuff.
I wish I could have time with Coach. My coach lived in the bedroom next to me. Coach was dad, so
I didn't
have the break from Coach. But when Coach said that, I would have loved that. But Coach, it was great to have you. We really appreciate having you on. We're looking forward to having you guys on. As you know, when your season starts to get, you know, back up, you guys start getting into fall ball. We'll love to have you on. And you know, tough to take that loss, but you know, wishing you guys the best of luck. And to have a better season next year.
Well, thank you, Mike and yourself. You guys do a great job. And like I told Mike before, the kids love coming down there. And anytime you'd like to have us down there, we will definitely be there.
Well, Coach, I told you, I graduated from Hollins High. It was back in the 50s, but it's been a minute. But loved having you here. And again, I what I mentioned earlier and you weren't able to allude to because my mic was off, and that's my fault, was that that unity, that team showing up down here, that all together, that one for all and all for one spirit, and having you guys out here is so phenomenal. It transitions to the field of play. So, Coach Rogers, just keep up what you're doing. We love to see it and can't wait to have you down here again on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Anytime, Mike. Thank you guys so much for everything you do.
All right, Coach. You have a good one.
You too. All right, thanks.
Coach Rogers from the Hollins of Royals. Hey, so yeah, I'm playing in the golf tournament. We only got like a few minutes left, Oscar. I want to transition. So can I get some golf lessons in the next 2 weeks? I literally
need some golf lessons in the next 2 weeks.
You're playing the East Bay Golf Club. When's the last time you played? You were in East Bay last Saturday.
Yeah, I was out in East Bay a little bit ago. It's a pretty flat track, but easily to get into some trouble. Trees lining on the side, a little bit of water here and there. And I'll tell you this. You're responsible for any damages to those condos.
I know that, but let me ask you something.
Better be careful.
And I'm not saying it's going to be a solid pitch and putt anyway, but maybe a pitch and putt. I mean, I'm going to bring the entire bag. I'm not going to swing an iron because I don't want to damage one of those pieces of property. But I mean, go anywhere between the 2-iron and maybe the 8-iron to a pitching wedge. Maybe I can just keep myself in the fairways and not embarrass myself too much.
I think if you keep them waist high and you keep them nice and stiff, you can scoot it down the course just enough. I think that is the right strategy. Let me see if we can effort Alex, because we do have a couple of topics
yes.
that we want to.
Oh, I started us off. Sorry about that. But
no, it's good. And we got some bills to pay, too. Let me get into this. Ace High Printing and Rick Herbert, official printer of Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the T Radio St. Pete and Sunshine 96.7 FM. Give Rick a call today at 727-542-3897. Ace High Printing. Give Rick a call today. 727-542-3897. This is a very local cat. He's humble. He's we're here's a sample of some of his clients. Oh, wait, I don't even have the list for that. But he does good work.
Does great work. That's all the printing here for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, that beautiful shirt you're wearing right now.
So the shirt I've got on, the signs that we've got on up here.
The hats, everything. Yep. Phenomenal stuff. Yeah,
you've
great
come
stuff.
Up to the show. You've got one of those shirts. So that's Ace High Printing, like I said, 727-542-3897.
And those shirts, while you're making that phone call, are you on the phone already?
No. We're bringing them right now.
But, yeah, those shirts are available on my YouTube page. I've uber-inflated the price. I've got to pay for gas these days, but... Yeah, we're going to have... So what did Mike say this is? This is the bar?
This is BS from the bar. We'll see if we can get Alex on here in a second. Alex, we got you?
I'm here.
Alex, great to have you on, buddy. So this segment, we're going to close out the show from 1:35 all the way out to 2. But this segment is BS from the bar. It's a little roundtable discussion we got going on. We're going to talk about a little bit of everything. We're going to keep it on NBA, of course, but I definitely want to touch on the NIL stuff because that was between A&M and Bama. We haven't had a chance to chit-chat about that.
And Deion Sanders, too.
Yeah, Deion got
Jackson State
Deion
in there.
Caught a stray bullet from this
one. But he responded nice.
He did.
He dropped the microphone on
tell
that.
Deion. Oh, let's wait because we can get excited. Alex, I want to tee it off with you because, you know, you're a respectable NBA insider, Peter Schrager. No, I'm kidding. I'll tip it off to you. What are you thinking? You went to Miami. I'll let you lead it off. You went to Miami for game two. How was that?
I mean, it was a pretty awesome atmosphere for about one quarter, and then the air was quickly let out of the building after a 17-0 run with Tatum on the bench, as I'm sure you saw. But hey, it was a playoff game. I got to give credit to Boston fans. They sure made the trip. I mean, I'd be more impressed if they make the trip to Cleveland rather than South Beach. But you know, hey, you can only play where you have to play. And hey, it was a really commemorable performance by the Celtics in a bounce back game. And I think you and I talked about after game one. Just didn't have a lot of really good idea about how the series was going to go once you lose Horford and Smart in game one. You got big performances for Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard, and if you carry that momentum in and you add guys like Smart, who's really been the facilitator of the offense the entire playoffs, and you add Horford's defense and his ability to switch, you see exactly what can happen when you shoot 50% from three. And now they're headed back to Boston with a lot of momentum. And I'm kind of curious to see where the Heat go from here because they certainly did not look like the one seed that they are in that game, too.
If we're really looking at the last eight quarters of the Eastern Conference Finals, I would say Boston controlled 6 out of 8.
Yeah,
I'd say 7.
You say 7? Yeah. Well, because they did go on a run in the fourth quarter of Game One. They just got blown the third quarter of Game One. So if you're thinking about that, I mean, they've controlled 7 of the 8 quarters in Miami. I mean, you got to imagine TD Garden's going to be hell. Like, what do you see for the next two?
You know, I don't see a lot of – if I'm a Miami fan, I'm worried right now. I don't see a lot of positive notes to go off of. I think, you know, you also see PJ Tucker lead the third quarter of game two. With a lower body injury, we've had Kyle Lowry only play 2 of the last 10 games. I guess, I don't know, I struggle to see how the Heat find ways to counter the offense that Boston has been able to get out of guys. Like, if Grant Williams is going to give you almost 20 points a game, and Peyton Pritchard is going to give you even 10 off the bench, then you add in Smart, who's like a rebound shy of a triple-double. You have Tatum, who hasn't even had to go off the way Tatum can go off so far in this series. You've got to be expecting that to come here soon. I guess, you know, Spoelstra's a great coach. I'm sure he'll find ways to make adjustments. I think one of the biggest things they got to do is, they got to play tough. I think we always talk about mucking it up. And I think they got to find ways. Jimmy's got to get the line like he always does. He's got to be the superstar, which, again, I don't think he gets enough credit for being, with the way he's been able to consistently show up. I mean, in that game, too, it really felt like he was one of the only guys that was out there playing his best. Because the shot wasn't falling, and the Heat are very reliant on guys like Max Strus and Gabe Vincent. And I don't know if they're going to be consistent enough in a series which is really becoming a war of attrition now that Quick turnarounds and lots of travel, and we're getting into the later part of the season here, and guys' legs are starting to go.
Alex, let me ask you something. Guys, this is an outsider looking in, and I appreciate that if you let me just answer. Steph Curry, $48.5 million a year, Golden State. Let's move to the Western Conference for a minute. He's worth every penny of it, but what are we missing here? I mean, is this cat not one of the most outstanding players in the entire league, if not the best at the moment? And should we be paying more attention to Steph Curry?
I think we get kind of the NBA is big on two things. They're big on having a short-term memory.
Yes.
And they also get bored very easily. We see this we see this in the MVP conversation. Because in the last 5 years, we can say that we've had some considerable seasons, but at the end of the day, we all know who's king. We all know LeBron is king, but he hasn't won any of these MVPs. And I say that to say, I think Steph Curry doesn't get, like, we're not jumping to have conversations about him and the Warriors because it's almost old. It's like they get
been a minute.
He's been winning rings since 2015.
Yeah.
We're 2022 summer.
Going back to his dad, Dell Curry. I still remember Dell with the Carolina, what was it? Oh, my God, I can't remember the name of the basketball team.
The Hornets.
The Hornets in the day. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I get it. What do you think, Alex? That sounds about right, huh?
I think Austin hit the nail on the head there. We are a very short-term memory fan base when it comes to the NBA, and it's all about the next guy who puts on the biggest show.
Right.
And when Steph broke onto the scene with those Warriors teams, which, by the way, I think that's what gets lost if you're just a casual fan of the NBA and you tune in during the playoffs, you think, oh, look, this Warriors team, they got Draymond still, they got Klay Thompson still, and they got Steph Curry. And then they got guys, oh, I've heard of Andrew Wiggins, he's the number one pick. Oh, Jordan Poole, who's this guy? Like, if you look at this team, they're a very different team than the Warriors team that dominated and where Steph Curry became that mega superstar. And he's having a great year. I think he's honestly has been kind of overlooked the year he's had. And I'd say right now, I mean, heck, I'm glad we're not talking about last week when we made our predictions there, Oscar, because those certainly didn't go our way. But I think if you look at the teams now, Boston and Golden State have completely separated themselves in these series. And I think Steph Curry's been the engine behind. He's really been the only guy who I'd say has been consistently reliable in these series for Golden State, because we've seen very, very turbulent. We've seen Game 6 Clay where he looks like his old self.
Clay has had more quarters than he's had. Clay's been having more quarters than he's having nights. You know, he'll give you a 12-minute stretch where, all right, good, we got an 11, 12, 13 points out of Clay. That's going to help put us over the top.
Absolutely. And I think Draymond has shown no interest to score, so he's become almost an offensive liability. He's really on the floor just for his defense and his leadership at this point in his career. And I think he's on a name, but I mean, the contribution they've gotten from Jordan Poole has been incredible. So I think, yeah, back to your original point, I would say it is actually a little bit surprising that Steph Curry doesn't kind of get talked about. But I think it's like it's how we've seen this before, and we've seen Steph Curry hit 35-foot, 40-foot three-pointers for years now. We haven't seen a guy like Luka dominate with this physical game, this European game. It's new, it's different, it's exciting. It's why everyone was so captivated by Ja and why Ja won the...
Any guy who can come and compliment Curry to get them going, to get a 1-2 punch high for. But what is going on where the Warriors are mangling Dallas? Because when I'm watching the game, it just seems like the Dallas role players are choking. They're not hitting the shots they want to hit. In game one, they went 11 from 48 from three. Last night was a lot better when it comes to hitting shots and efficiency, but at the end of the day, the Warriors still came out on top. Do they just have too much firepower to the point where the Mavs can't keep up? Or is the Mavs defense not picking up on, first off, these pick and rolls with Kevon Looney, which is the resurgence of Kevon Looney, which I'm saying a lot here, but what's going on?
I don't know if I even call it a resurgence. I think it's been the resurgence. Like, who thought Kevon Looney would give you 10 out of 14 and 21 points and give you a bunch of
22
finals?
Boards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the biggest thing that Golden State is. They dominated the paint. I think I saw a stat last night where the Warriors attempted 16 shots at the rim and 14 of them they converted. That's an 87.5% conversion percentage. You know how many Dallas had? They didn't have a single conversion at the rim last night in game two. And you're going to lose if you don't dominate the rim. I mean, sure, if you make the threes and you shoot 60% from beyond the arc, like Miami shot 50% the other night, or sorry, not Miami, Boston, then you're probably going to win basketball games in the modern NBA. But you're not going to shoot like that every night. There's going to be a regression to the mean from a shooting standpoint. But you know what? It's very hard to invest from, and that's converting at the rim if you can get there. And I think that's been one of the biggest advantages the Golden State's had. And you know, this Dallas team, there's no doubt about it. They got 100%. They got 200% better after they traded Kristaps Porzingis. He was even dragging this team in the mud. But what they do miss on the current roster makeup is that guy down low that can dominate the glass, that can get them points at the rim. Very few teams, it's very hard to find a guy like that in the NBA. And they're so reliant on Luka to create their offense, to drain the shot clock, and they have him make some crazy play that, you know, his efficiency, his usage numbers are some of the highest historically in league history. So I think Golden State, they play better team basketball. And it's like you said, I don't think the Mavs have – who's the Mavs 2 and 3 option that you're really confident about? Because I'm very confident.
Yeah, I mean, if we're saying it's like Brunson and – I mean, who even is after Brunson? Like, just like if you're really making a 1-2-3, this is
Finney Smith.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, question mark.
Yeah, there is no one on this Mavs bench that I would want to roll out there and say, hey, you need to make some big shots in this game. But I at this point, Poole has proven himself as that guy. Klay obviously has the track record. You know, I think, and then if you're getting performances from Kevon Looney, then It's really been an impressive effort by the Warriors, who, again, let's not forget, they lost by 50 to Memphis at one point. This team is by no means a juggernaut.
Now, guys,
we were very critical of them a couple weeks ago.
I think it was well-deserved. This team has shown at times, it looks like they've fallen asleep at the wheel. They've had this, you know, maybe sort of an arrogance due to the fact that they have championships in the past. And again, they have young guys, and Wiggins has never been the guy that you're going to say, oh, he's got that Jimmy Butler, like, F you attitude. I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to drop 30 on you. We never see that from Wiggins. He's usually just the guy that's out there and kind of fall asleep watching because he just doesn't ever value for a number one pick for the guy that he couldn't be.
Let me ask you.
I think it's very easy to be critical of Golden State, but at the same time, they are one of the more consistent teams we have before that we have left. I mean, I think it's got to be them in Boston. When they're playing at their highest potential, those are the two best teams in the playoffs, without a doubt, at the current state.
Let's talk about the Tampa Bay, Orlando Magic. Of course, I remember they get the first overall pick and get Shaquille O'Neal from LSU. Then the very next year, they get the number one pick in the lottery again. And of course, they originally draft Chris Webber, and then they trade him, and they end up with Penny Hardaway and a bunch of collateral. Magic win the lottery on Tuesday night. Is there a player coming out this year? Is there a one and done? Is there a player or an international player or something that can come to the Orlando Magic and maybe make them a little bit relevant again? Every year we keep thinking we see something, and then every year it just goes away.
We were at the Rays game maybe a couple days ago, and we were just talking about, because my Detroit Pistons won the fourth slot or the fifth slot, I forget. Fifth? Thanks for reminding me.
Rubbing it in more. Like
right. So yeah, Orlando's got this. Has got the second pick.
No, number one overall.
They're number one overall.
They won that lottery.
Orlando, OKC, yeah. Houston, Sacramento, Detroit, top five.
Okay, well, Alex, you would know better than me because you know I'm not very excited about this. I wasn't excited about this draft to begin with. I mean, for me, it's Chet, it's Paolo, and that's about it. Like, I don't really see too much value past that, but of course we're talking about the number one, number two. Who do you think Orlando goes with? And
can he make a franchise? Can he change an entire franchise around and start?
I think we're talking about Chet. Is that really who's coming out? Who's going to come save Orlando?
So I think Orlando is a very unique team from the very little. Again, I'm not the biggest league pass guy, so I'm not tuning into a lot of Orlando Magic games. But from what I did have them on, I think they were a very unique team to watch this year because they have a lot of young talent. and guys that I think could really make a leap up, and they're just, they have a young core to build around, and now you have a number one pick. And like you said, I think there's three guys who the top spot is being debated about, and I think that's Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga, and Jabari Smith out of Auburn. Each of them has a little bit of a different makeup and what they can bring to the Magic team. In many ways, I think Chet Holmgren is kind of built in a lab for this Orlando Magic team. Just based off some of the draft picks that they've made in the past, he just seems like Chet Holmgren is the complete unicorn if there ever was one in a draft. You have absolutely no idea what to expect. I mean, I think we've made the joke before. He's a hunchback in the NBA practically, and we've never seen that before. We've never seen it.
Was he really a hunchback? I really don't know.
He actually is.
But what, does he have a huge upside? Is that what it is? And also,
he has an incredible upside. I mean, he's 7'1", he's lanky, he can step out and shoot it.
Sounds like Shaquille O'Neal a little bit.
He's hunched, but he's got a huge upside.
Oh, he's got long arms.
He has such a strange gait for an NBA caliber number one athlete. If you would watch him, you're shocked by watching him. If you told someone, like, this is going to be a number one pick, but he's got a great mentality, top. And I think probably the best guy to compare him to would be Kristaps in kind of the way they play. But he's, again, such high upside, but also such low downside that very, very large amount of downside with him. I'd say, I watched a lot of Duke basketball. I think Paolo is going to fit into any. I think he might be the most NBA ready. I really don't want to see him on this Houston team because I don't really love the pieces they have in Houston. I think Green and Christian Wood are really the only things they have to build around. And I think he would excel a lot more with that OKC team, who I do think Lou Dort, Josh Giddey, you got some great young talent there. So I don't know. I think there's some interesting picks. And you said you were down on the pick of the five. I think Shane Sharp, they're talking about another guy. He didn't play a single game for Kentucky this year. He has high upside potential. He's a top high school prospect coming out into the Kentucky team they never played for, so he's a complete question mark. And then there's some guys outside of that, some Big Ten guys, Keegan Murray, Walker out of Wisconsin, John Davis, excuse me. So I don't know. I think this draft class is going to be better than you think it is, Oscar. I think there's a lot of guys that can make impact down the line.
Two takeaways, real quick, guys, and I won't ramble. One is, this draft doesn't seem like the kind of draft where there's a team out there that has a player they covet at number one that would even want to consider trying to give the Magic draft capital or move up with a trade, unless Magic looking to buy some. And also, Alex, I'm hearing you say that maybe this Magic team, we've seen it. We've seen some of the talent. They've had some injuries, but we've seen a improvement in this team. They might be in that position now where they're ready to draft that franchise middle, big guy, center, or another player and start to make that run toward the top of the division.
Orlando has that track record going with Shaq, going down to Shaq. They had
Tracy. It was Tracy McGrady was their first round overall, wasn't he also? I think, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't remember.
I think T-Mac was top 10. I don't remember him being
overall. Okay, no, but that was our big guy.
And then they had Shaq and Dwight Howard. So they have a...
Dwight Howard is what I was thinking. You're right, Oscar.
So they have a track record of drafting bigger guys who turn out well, and that's putting it lightly. When it comes to, is this going to be a franchise changer if they're in that position? They've had some first team all rookie guys recently, but I don't know. I feel like people feel the same way about the Magic they feel about the Detroit. I need to see it first. I need to see something.
Well, what's this emoji I see? Someone shared on Facebook the other day a picture of LeBron in a Magic uniform hugging. Was that Little Bron? Was that maybe when Little Bron comes out, maybe they could come to Orlando and do a year on the exit?
If they get a chance to get Bronny and he gets in there, you'll probably see LeBron James in a Magic jersey, but
you'll see him sitting over in the arena anyway, for sure.
At some point, I doubt he'll go
maybe
there on his own
player
fruition,
coach.
No,
maybe no.
LeBron's back on to Orlando.
This is Rich Paul's assistant we have on the phone, and he's very
clutch. I'm Clutch's newest hire. If you didn't hear,
we got our Clutch insider, Alex. Last thing, because we're about to wrap up here in a second. Who do you have? You know, we've made predictions before. They've been bad. Where are we at right now? I imagine from where you're talking, you like Golden State and you like the Celtics. With we're two games into both series.
Yeah. After last week, I don't love making predictions anymore. I think I'm tapped out. But no, I think we were asked to make two Game 7 picks that were going to be tough either way, and they didn't go our way, even remotely. But that Milwaukee team got tired, and Giannis wasn't able to give us anything in that second half. So I don't have too much against that. But yeah, like I said, it's going to be Golden State and Boston at this juncture. From everything I've seen, I feel pretty confident about that. And that's not saying, hey, Luka hasn't lost the game on his home court yet, so this series could easily flip on its head, and I would not be surprised. But I think Golden State's shown themselves to be the better team. They have the more experienced guys. They have the better depth. They look like the team that's going to come out of the West. And in the East, Boston's getting healthy. If everyone stays healthy and they keep getting these bench performances, I think it's going to be very tough for them to lose to this Heat team, who, despite being a one seed, I just don't really see a lot of firepower from them. And like you said, 7 out of 8 quarters is better team, Boston. So wow. I think that's my prediction right now, especially Boston headed back to their home floor. We'll see how it shakes out. I hope I'm not even throwing again next week. It would be great. But we'll see.
How about you, Oscar?
Yeah, I think I gotta take Boston and Golden State. I mean, it makes the most sense to bet against that. It would be crazy, especially betting against Golden State right now. And then I think to hoist it, probably gotta say the Warriors. I mean, it's kind of like having Tom Brady back in it. Once you have, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, a couple of the QBs in the room, it's like, all right, I gotta take the guy who's literally been in half of the Super Bowls in the last 20 years.
Yeah, good point.
So since 2015. Who's got the most appearances? Who's got the most rings? It's Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Klay and Draymond. Damn. Who's got the most experience? Who's been here the longest? It's these guys. They know how to close games. They know how to win. The Mavs, I don't believe they've been this far. If they have, they haven't made it to the finals. And
not this time around.
Not this time.
Yeah.
No. And then Boston and Miami have both come close. Miami has been all the way but hasn't won it. But I think it's Boston's turn. They've got a little bit more tenure. They've had a little bit more time together. So it'll be exciting to see.
I like it. So, hey, Alex, and if you don't mind, Oscar, since we wrapped this whole thing up with some great basketball talk, let's give a little love out to the WNBA. I mean, the season starts off last week. They're marketing it great. I always feel like it's an ode to Kobe, to the Mamba, to Black Mamba. I always feel like, oh, because we knew how important this was to him. Absolutely. And guys, there's some dang. Can I say damn? I seen damn, right?
I think
there's some damn good basketball going on in the WNBA, Alex.
Bring Brittany Griner home, too. Let's get her out.
I'm just going to say, get Brittany Griner on. That's huge in the WNBA.
Well, while we're sending out a search party for Brittany Griner, let's not joke about this. Like, let's actually get her home.
100%.
But Alex, it's been great having you on, man. You're always a great addition to a way to close out the show. All the way from PA, Alex Reba. Thanks for joining the show, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a great time.
Thank you, Alex. Good talking to him. That was some BS from the bar right there, Oscar.
That was some BS from the bar.
Because everything I say is BS. I know so little about basketball. I was going to say my 11th hour pick is that Dwayne Wade straps him back up again. He comes in for the Heat and they end up pulling something out. But no,
they'll figure it out.
Boston, I mean, they've held
Pat
him
Riley, if you think Pat Riley can't get Wade back out on the floor, you underestimate Heat culture.
And we've mentioned this. We've already watched the Winning Time, the story of the Los Angeles Lakers, and we know what Pat Riley's all about.
The Godfather is how we refer to him. I'm a big fan.
Yes.
But it has been a great show. Good luck to the Boca Ciega football team, entering into, they just played their spring ball game, so they're handling business on their end. Thanks for having them in. Alex on the phone, John Rieger, for Bob Bauer, Toby Hall, Matt Goudreau, Rolf Rogers, Alex Reba, Oscar Garner III, that's me, Big O, Ray Kennedy, Joe Boudreau, and Big Ed on the controls. Of course, Mike Rickard, who had to dip out. Thanking you for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous week. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Ukraine. Free Brittany Griner. And have a championship week.